I can see you out there, Kevin.
I've talked to like 19 basketball people in 3 hours.
Arizona Sports, our son's mega mind, Kellen Olson, joining Wolf and Luke to talk about the Phoenix Suns now.
Yeah, kind of a big game going on in Minnesota tomorrow, 12:30 Arizona time, 23 hours from now. Kellen Olson is either there or on the way there or stuck in an airport. He's joining us right now on the Arizona Sports Line. This is a fun game. Let's play Where's Kellen? Kellen, where are you?
I am thankfully staring out my hotel window at the Minnesota skyline, not awkwardly pacing around a airport gate while people stare at me as I make basketball analysis over live radio. Hello.
Well, that's good to hear.
Killer, you know what? To the obvious question, buddy, where do you begin on this series right now? What is the first thought that comes to mind when you think of Suns T-Wolves?
Styles clash. I've covered nearly a dozen playoff series now at this point, been thankful to do that. And outside of the finals, this is the most dynamic one that I've covered so far, just in terms of previewing it. And that's before the ball goes up. So I can't imagine how much is going to change in the dynamics that are going to be at play once we see everything out there. But this is a styles clash. Minnesota, 2 summers ago, bet big on size. They traded for Rudy Gobert, bet that a Gobert Towns front court would work. They re-signed Naz Reid last summer, which was a no-brainer, but at the same time gave them 3 centers they have to find time for. And it has worked out for them in the regular season, but then you look at what the Suns did this offseason. They start 3 guards. Kevin Durant is really the only wing in the rotation. Kata Bates-Diop didn't work out. Yuta Watanabe didn't work out. So guys like Jaden McDaniels, Kyle Anderson are going to bring size and physicality just like that front court will. But the Suns are going to be able to space out the floor, and they're going to be able to have success working against those bigs like they did in the regular season. So it might, your pick might just come down to like the style of play that you prefer more, but there's a lot more to this matchup that I'm sure going to discuss for the rest of this segment.
Well, yeah, and you kind of touched on one thing I wanted to ask you about, Kellen, already, but the physicality, especially. Look, that's something Minnesota does naturally, so it's not like they have to change how they play. But also, I'm sure they're looking at a team across the court from them that has beaten them 3 times this season, and they're going to kind of just do whatever it takes to win. Are you concerned at all with the way this Suns team is built and the players on this team that they could get rattled by that sort of play?
I don't know if rattled is the right word, but I'm wondering if it can still be advantageous to them because the Suns led the league in free throw rate this season, excluding garbage time. So they were really the best at getting to the line. Kevin Durant has a lot to do with that. Devin Booker has a lot to do with that. But ever since the change in officiating that happened about 2 months ago, when the league really just started to let a lot of things go, from March on, the Suns were 20th. So they dropped quite a bit. They were pretty much dominating that category all year until that point. And I'm wondering if the Suns are still going to be able to get those types of calls in the postseason against a team that is going to batter them. They are going to look to wear down Kevin Durant off the ball as much as possible. They're going to look to make sure Devin Booker gets hit when he drives the ball. Like, they are going to make sure that kind of thing is happening. So can the Suns still benefit off of it? We'll see, because there are a couple other numbers at play here. I think one is that Minnesota forces a lot of turnovers. They turn the ball over a lot themselves, though. Now, the Suns don't force nearly as many turnovers as the Timberwolves, but this is a team where they could end up doing okay in the turnover battle if they force some for themselves. And that, of course, was the story of these regular season matchups, right? So there are a ton of numbers and a ton of just inside the game things to watch for as soon as tomorrow.
Boy, I'm with you on this one, Killer. I really do believe this is going to be a nasty, physical series. Whoever comes out on top, I think it's going to be physical and it's going to be nasty. But I want to ask you, who do you think has more to gain by winning game one?
Minnesota, absolutely. Yeah. I think that if Phoenix wins game one, the doubt could start to creep in for Minnesota. Like, what if we just can't beat these guys? What if we just got screwed here with a bad matchup? We're having our best regular season in over a decade, and you got to go back to the Kevin Garnett years to look for the last Minnesota team that had this much promise or that made it past the first round. And I think that can start to happen. But if the opposite happens and Minnesota punches them in the mouth for the first 6 minutes of the game, and they realize, like, oh, that was just a regular season. And then the Suns realize, oh, that was just a regular season. I don't think it's going to be a realization for either of them, to be clear. But I'm really interested tomorrow just to see how the first, like, 5 minutes goes and what the tone of the game is going to be and how each team responds. Because I think there is a little bit of mental to it, like you're alluding to, Wolf. I think that's a really good point.
We're talking to Kel. Well, you got the guest telling you you're making good points.
Well, you know, Killer knows.
Jeez, wow, okay.
Luke, I never compliment you on this show. Don't be ridiculous. No, don't expect things that never happen.
No, I'm just going to sit here and wait until you do.
He respects his elders.
Oh, okay.
I even have to make fun of you in like a horrible week for you. I'm really sorry.
That's fine. I need it. I need the pain on top of the pain. It'll make me laugh. Here, Kellen, I'm going to ask you this. This is kind of a public service for the Suns fans out there that maybe aren't super familiar with the Timberwolves. You know how this plays out, right? If the series goes 7 or even 6 games, by the end, Suns fans are going to really despise at least one player on the Timberwolves. So who in your mind is going to be that guy that irritates Suns fans?
Oh, man. Gosh, Gobert seems to infuriate people quite a bit with his, not antics necessarily, but just the way that he impacts a game and just how he will look for foul calls. He will like flail his arms and flop a little bit, even if he's a giant human being. I think Karl Anthony Towns kind of that way too. I don't know where Anthony Edwards lies on the Spurs spectrum. And what I mean by that is, like, I hated Manu Ginobili with every fiber of my being. I respected Tim Duncan. I did not respect Manu Ginobili. Like, where is Anthony Edwards on that spectrum? I don't know. He talks a lot of trash and it is going to be active out there with that for this whole series. And there's the whole thing with him and Book and who's the best two guard in the world. The fact that Book is 11-1 against him over their career so far. There's a lot there. I think that in general, how about the whole team? I should have just said the whole team because they're gonna try to beat him up.
So in game one, Killer, as you're looking at it right now, who do you think has got to step up for the Phoenix Suns? I mean, we know the big three, of course, but is it one of those guys in particular you expect to step up and make a difference in game one?
So before you said Phoenix Suns, my mind immediately went to Karl Anthony Towns, and I'll loop in the Suns here in a second. But for those not familiar with Karl Anthony Towns, he's an incredibly talented basketball player, 7-footer who's agile. He can drive to the basket, but he's mostly been a finesse player at this point in his career, and he's an extremely talented shooter and scorer. In the last two postseasons, he's melted down. He's spiraled significantly in these games. He's foul trouble is a huge issue for him. He makes all these bad decisions, and it's just strange to see him in the playoffs, and this is a big, big moment for him. So to bring in the Suns here, Mike Conley or Karl Anthony Towns has to guard Bradley Beal. That is a problem for the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think it's going to be Mike Conley, but to that point, the whole reason why you build a big three like this, there are several reasons why, but the main one is, okay, you have this guy that you're lucky to have guys that can guard Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, right? You're lucky to have two guys like that. No one has a third. There's no other team that has that many options. So now Bradley Beal is going to get one of those mismatches, or it's Grayson Allen. One of those two guys is going to be guarded by Karl Anthony Towns, and that's going to be the guy that they continue to target like they did in the regular season. So my answer is whoever Karl Anthony Towns is guarding. So off tip-off tomorrow, look at who he's guarding, and that's my guy.
Kellen Olsen, great stuff, man. We look forward to your coverage through these playoffs.
Thanks, guys.